So all this talk of wants and needs, you know, what we want versus what we need. But at some point, it's want that keeps you in a situation, because it'll ultimately be want that'll take you out of that situation, particularly if it's a negative situation, no? So today I am officially over-caffeinated. I went to fucking Starbucks. I had an hour to kill. And I needed... let me back up just a hair. But I... this morning decided I was going to try for about 20,000 steps. I'm officially talking like one of those fucking Strava geeks or whatever. What's that? Whatever that app is, Strava or whatever. You know what I'm talking about? Where they chart your... they chart your path and mileage and shit like that. And then you post it on some social media that nobody gives a fuck about. So I went out and I was trying to... I was going to go out 10,000 steps and turn it into a loop so that I could, like whatever that is, 4,000 steps is what, a mile? Is that right? So that would have been about 5 miles. I made it just a shade over 8. I thought, okay, well, all right. I'll make it 16. I'll settle for that. And then thank God I did, man. I was sucking up some fumes. I was coasting in on some fumes there at the end. And because I'm old, you know, like I look at the trail that I go out on and I keep thinking like there's some kind of trail gang out there. Like a trail gang, you know, like a bunch of trail thugs that are just like kids that just pop out of the woods, out of the bushes, and they're just like, "Hey, old man, what are you doing out here, old man? You're an old man. What are you doing? This is we thought we told you not to come around here, old man." And I'd just be like, "Yeah, I'm an old man. Like, don't hurt me, man." And they'll be like, "You know what we're gonna do? We're gonna make you eat this pine cone, old man. You better eat this fucking pine cone, old man." I'm like, I don't want to eat a pine cone. So I was a little out of gas when I got done, and I even kind of crimped the last part of the hike like you would a garden hose, you know, when you're trying to shut the water down, and then you know. Ask your kid, like, why is the hose not work? Why is it jammed up? And then when they look in, you uncrimp it and blast them in the face. Because that's a dad move. And so I ended up getting about, 15,000 steps, whatever that is. And because I'm training, man. I'm training, you understand? And I get obsessive with the mileage when I'm in to whatever it is that I'm obsessed with. And so what is it that you're obsessed with now, John, you ask? Well, first of all, it's none of your damn business, but since you ask, I'm looking into, I came up with the notion on Saturday. Saturday, I was driving up to Grass Valley. Grass Valley is approximately 50 miles from where I lay my head at night. And I thought to myself, you know what, what if instead of kind of doing the whole Trans Catalina thing, the whole 38 and a half mile trail, because there's extra legs to that journey. And I'm going to eventually do that, but the extra leg is what takes up the time. Getting down there, prepping, ferrying over, then doing it, then ferrying back, and then another day of travel, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, so I subscribed to this. I found this website now for FKTs, fastest known times. I think it's called FKT.com or something, but it's all the registered FKTs. I mean, anywhere in the world, but you can narrow it down to the U.S. and then narrow down by state. And so any kind of registered trail, any documented trail like that, like the Trans-Catalina Trail, is, of course, you have to provide proof, like some kind of PDF through your Strava. Is that what it's called? I don't know what the fuck that is. You got to submit the GPS of the trail that you ran or hiked or whatever it is you did. Well, some dude, like last year, did the Trans-Catalina. This is 38 and a half miles across the island, from one end of the island to the other, a recognized trail. Some guy did it, and they recommend, if you look it up on like the Bureau of Tourism for the Catalina Island and the trail itself, they'll say, you know, they'll give you like ratings of different trails around the island, and then that one, it's like I think they rated pretty high as far as how tough it is. But it doesn't seem, I don't think it's that. I mean, you gain like 9,000 feet of elevation, but that's going up and down, up and down, up and down. The cumulative gain is somewhere, I think I'm just pulling that out of my ass anyway, but it's like, yeah, 8,000 or 9,000 feet. So you drop, I mean, the highest point is like 2,000, I think, yeah, it's 2,000 feet at the airport up there. So I could see that. But the fastest known time registered official is 6 hours 14 minutes. Yeah, you heard that right, because they rate the trail as a three-day trail. A fucking three-day trail. And some dude did it in 6 hours and 14 minutes. And the year before that, he did it in 6 hours and like 21 minutes or something like that. He beat his own record by like 7 minutes. So 6 hours? 6 fucking hours. That's insane. But that's the thing is, so you can look this up on FKT.com. I think that's what that website is. I don't know, man. And so it gives you all these, there's it's whatever you want to submit, as long as you have proof through your GPS, through like a Garmin or a TomTom or whatever, or a Strava or Star, whatever that thing's called, right? Or a Fitbit. Like, I just got this thing on my phone, you know, that's that white square app with the red heart in the middle. And that's what I go off of. So I'm, so all these, you know, all over the world, but when I narrowed it down to just California, there's still 14 pages of FKT trails. So it's, you know, it goes from like, you know, well-known, established, like the Trans-Catalina or Death Valley North to South, or Mount Whitney, which I'll eventually do as well, to all the way down to like the, like you, where you would scratch your head, you know, in between. There's like Mount Tam, Mount Diablo, Mount Tamalpais, and all the times, and then the guy that did it, and then the PDF of the navigation. And there's one that goes from like, there's like the Marin Headland, there's a Marin Headlands Trail. There's one that goes from Golden Gate to, I think it's at the airport. I'm like, what the fuck? Some dudes just fucking just going down Highway 101, huh? Just busting a move down Highway 101 from the Golden Gate to San Francisco Airport? What the fuck? They even got them around Folsom Lake. There's a couple of them are in and around Folsom Lake. One's like a 15-miler. And then there's one, I think, that circumnavigates the entire lake that's like, what was that, like 33, 34 miles, something like that. And these people, they're hauling ass. I mean, they're hauling ass. So I get in my craw. I get it in my friggin' little fucking turtle head, my little peanut turtle head, my monkey brain, my genetic monkey brain, that I'm gonna establish one. I'm gonna create one. And so what am I gonna do? Am I gonna walk to Grass Valley? Because there's trails up all along the highway, I would imagine. You know, or at least you can create some, or, you know, pop out on the highway, or, you know, maybe at least 49, Highway 49, maybe go through some side channels till you hit 49. But even that's, you know, there are worse things. I mean, Ed Stafford, shit, he just did, he did the Amazon. That's 4,000 miles of swamplands and electric eels and malaria. Why can't you do Highway 49? So, but I thought, okay, well, let's expand on that. Let's expand on that theory. What else? What else you got? Like, what else you got, man? I got this kid. I got this kid born with the heart on his, outside of his chest. You know, it's a crazy world. I went to this adoption service because on account of my semen don't work. So, they had this little Korean kid with his heart born on the outside of his chest, man. I said, well, what else you got? And anyway, that's from Raising Arizona. But I said, well, what about going to South Lake Tahoe? There you go. That's a vertical fucking climb for you. So you're climbing, the net elevation on that would be somewhere in the 10,000 to 12,000, I would imagine. Because you gotta summit, you gotta hit the summit. So you gotta hit Donner's Summit. That's 7,100 feet. And then Tahoe itself sits in the basin there at about 6,000. It rests at about somewhere around 6,000 feet, I guess. So you got, so that's some climbing to do, boy. And but that was 84 miles from where I lay my head. And but I thought, oh boy, that's a grueler. But what if I went from Tahoe to Roseville? So it's all downhill, dog. Now you're talking. Now you're thinking. And then it dawned on me, dum dun dun dum. Why don't you just go around Lake Tahoe? Back in the day, back like when you were a young little whippersnapper, and we did that relay. We did a when I was running for that Christian team. I was the token heathen on our Christian relay team around the lake, and we did pretty well. My leg was like a 13-mile leg, but by road around the entire lake is 72 miles. Driving, it's 3 hours, according to all reports that I'm getting. But I, everywhere I looked, there was no official or unofficial anything. No time, nobody even chiming in, nobody on forums or blogs. And I'll double check, but there is the Tahoe Rim Trail, the old TRT, they call it, the old rim job. That's 165, some say 170, upwards of 171. But that's an ultra, and that is documented on the FKT.com. That is, and then some guy broke that record 2 years ago. September or October of 2020. He did it in 37 hours and some change. And he's an ultra runner, so that's a run. I was looking up previous marks. That's the only complete loop that is documented time-wise. The women's time was broke back in, I think, 2017. There was a lady that broke. There was a... The record holder, it went from 47 hours down to like 46 something. And then there was a Spaniard that held the record of 38 or 39 hours. And then this guy, local kid, I think, ended up beating it and going to 37 hours, which if you're doing anything, like, see, that's my whole thing about ultra marathons, man. Like, I mean, it's something. It's a feat, okay? But 37, you're stopping and you know, I'm reading through these blogs and he's like, oh, I took a 3.5 hour nap over around mile 130 something. I'm like, dude, if you got to take a 3 hour nap in the race, that's not a race, dog. That's just getting from, you know, one point to another. Am I right? But still, I got to give it up for 37 hours of doing anything. I mean, it's pretty impressive. I don't know what it works out. I think, God, somebody just broke like the 100 kilometer record. Is that right? So 62 miles. And they were averaging like a sub 7 per mile. So 650 per mile. So that's pretty that's fairly impressive. But again, it's like when you get to that point, man, just hike it out. It's a hike. Okay, you're not a runner. The runners are the guys like in the Olympics, okay? The runners are the guys that are running, you know, 10,000 meters in 26 and a half minutes, okay? That's a runner, okay? You know, that's real. Homeboy's not stopping off at lap 12 for a nap. So I thought to myself, okay, well, oh, we got us a little window of opportunity here now, don't we? So according to the drive around, which I did last year, we drove South Lake Tahoe from State Line up to Crystal Bay, which we drove up, which is the polar opposite, the northern polar opposite of the lake, other side. It's got where the old Cal Neva Hotel is, which is now defunct and kind of fallen apart and fenced off. But they used to have like all the Rat Pack used to perform there. Frank Sinatra, everybody, Jerry Lewis, those guys. I think it's haunted. I don't know. My youngest, she said that she wanted to go check it out, but it ain't in service. I think that's, the hotel they based that movie, the Bad Times at the El Royale. Is that the name of the movie? Something about Bad Times, the El Royale, with Jeff Bridges, about that hotel that is divided between state lines, between Nevada and California, which is exactly what Cal Neva Hotel was. It is. It's so you're on the state. So when you're at the state line, where all the casinos are, and Harrah's, and Hard Rock Cafe, and all that, that's just on the Nevada side. And then you drive north, up and around to the Nevada-California border in Crystal Bay. So that's halfway point. But that road, following that road, take the conventional 72-mile route that people rave about as far as driving goes. Now we got something. So what I'm gonna do, I think, is what I came up with, what I pulled out of my ass, is to go up. So Friday, July 1st. July 1st is a Friday. 4th of July weekend is the 2nd and 3rd. And then July 4th is a Monday, Well, they do a big fireworks display over the lake traditionally on 4th of July weekend. So that would be something to do. So you go up Friday, you settle in at the state line, get yourself a room, kick back, carbo load, you know, store, bulk up on carbs, you know, eat yourself some pasta, some bread, excuse me, and then set out about 8 a.m. Saturday morning, first thing. And if you're going 4 miles per hour, which is a good, I mean, that's about what I do, 4 miles per hour. It's 15 minute miles as you walk, which is, it is what it is, right? It's not fast, it's not slow. You're just, it's a little faster than, say, like what you would use as you're walking through the mall, probably, right? So at 4 miles per hour, that's 9 hours for 36 miles. For 36 miles, it's going to take you 9 hours. That'll put you in Crystal Bay on the first day. So when you're in Crystal Bay, now you get another hotel room. I don't know about, I mean, you could camp, I suppose. Matter of fact, that might be an option too. I don't know. I'm trying to get my lady on her bike. She'll ride with us. I got the boy on board. Of course, he'll agree to anything. He doesn't even know what he's agreeing to. And then my 20-year-old, I talked to her about it. She's down. She's going to mull it over. She's thinking about it. I don't know. Her mom wants to go to Norway. Her mom's trying to recruit her to go to Norway, but that's later on. That's like in July or August. So I think I've got the perfect window. I think I've got the perfect setup. So July 1st, arrive, start out July 2nd. That night, Saturday night, see, they're going to have the fire. They got to have the fireworks show Saturday night because it's a weekend thing. It's a weekend spot. They might do it Saturday and Sunday. Anyway, I'm going to be there. And so Sunday, we finish up. We go down the backside of the second half of the loop. Come down around Emerald Bay, through Kings Beach, Tahoe City, and then back to the state line. And probably kind of carve out some routes in between, you know, like instead of just staying completely on the highway, which I don't think is 100% safe, there's all kinds of like parallel or adjacent little trails along the way. You know, I mean, Zephyr Cove's got to have some. So you're going to use some of that. You're going to hit Incline Village. There's bound to be lots of off some parallel trails. And then, so the second day, the second half, 36 miles, we'll end up rolling into state line again Sunday night. And catch whatever fireworks display we can. And then sack out Sunday night. Monday morning, we are gone, daddy. Like the Violet Femmes song. Violet Femmes, gone, daddy, gone. Love is gone. It's gone, daddy, gone. Love is gone. So, anyway, that's the thing. And, ain't no documented FKT. Ain't no FKT when we're gone. Boom, boom, boom. Ain't no FKT when we're gone. And we're gone so long. Every time we go away. And I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. Anyway, you know how it goes. So, that's shaping up to make, I don't know. I got to do a little legwork. I got to I got to cross some T's and dot some I's and see what's up and see if I can pull this off, see if it'll be a recognized event. I might be an FKT. I'm going to try and be an FKT holder. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm trying? So that's the plan anyway. I don't know. It could go down. It could go down. It could go down. But among many of the other inspiring situations that I've inspired to aspire to is I found a new adventurer, someone that, I was scrolling through Instagram and then I go to like the search mode and then it'll pull up like just randomized stuff that'll, the algorithm kind of holds your interest, right? Or the Instagram accounts that the algorithm assumes would hold your interest. And then one gentleman in particular I came across, I found this, it was, let me find it. This guy, this Italian dude, and his name is Lorenzo Baron, Baron with an E. And the title of the page, well, his page is just his name without the O on Lorenzo. It's Lorenz Barone, all one word. And the post that I stumbled across was just a map of you're looking at Africa, Europe, the Middle East, Russia, Asia, India subcontinent, Australia. Everything but the North and South Americas. And there's a line, and the line starts at Cape Town. It's a black line. The black line goes up through Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Zambia, Tanzania, into the Sudan and Ethiopia. And there's a red dot about southern Sudan, southern Ethiopia. It says current position. And then the line continues, goes up into Egypt. See, it cuts out at the Med Sea there through Turkey and then into just north of Iran and then up into Russia. Mother Russia. Says current position again, southern, it looks like southern Ethiopia. And this line goes all the way across Russia, all the way to the northernmost portion of, probably the northernmost paved road. And then into what looks to be a dead end where you can't go any further unless you wanted to ride right into the Bering Sea to an area called Cape Desnev. So, he says, in the post, he says, there are only 22 to 23,000 kilometers left and 100 degrees of thermal excursion in the middle to complete the project. If I succeed, it will probably remain the most important, challenging, and meaningful adventure of my life. And then he summarizes it in Italian. So, this cat, this motherfucker... he says only 23,000 kilometers left. So what is that? 20,000 is about 12,000 miles. About 13, almost 14,000 miles. 14,000 miles left. So, about almost five times across the U.S. No problem. And this is what he's currently doing. This came out in, this post was put up April 25, because I get drawn in by the map. This road is not in, this is a road that's been, I've seen this route before. There's another guy named Ashley Dykes, he's a Welshman, who, he's the only person to walk the entire Yangtze River, I believe, yeah, unsupported, as well as the only person to walk from one end of Madagascar to the other, and I believe the only person to cross Mongolia, I think, unsupported, and, I think he posted this. I think this is where I saw this road the first time, was with this cat, and in relation to hiking this unsupported. Now, that is a death wish on foot, because going from Cape Town up through all those African countries, you've got what? Wildebeest, hyenas, hippos, lions, monkeys, gorillas, you know, snakes, every conceivable death machine. And if you're lucky enough to make it through that, then you got tribes, civil wars, tribal wars, government unrest, civil unrest, you name it, regimes that don't want people going through. It's insane. So you might be able to get through on a bike, because a few podcasts ago I talked about the German kid who made it all the way up. He did, and this is kind of a common, it seems to be more and more common, but going up from Cape Town all the way up to into Egypt, I mean, that's a fucking, just to go up into Egypt, that's twice, I believe it's twice the, yeah, about twice the distance of, it's like going back and forth across, it's like going LA to New York and then back to LA by bike. And when I watched the video of this guy doing it, what was his name? Anselm, I think. He, oh, dude. You know, he obviously had made it. Plenty of driving expeditions have made it. People that souped up or modified a vehicle and then just took off. Usually it came down from the UK or France or some European country down into Cape Town, or drove from Cape Town up kind of the same path, and then into Europe. And even that, I wouldn't recommend. And the bike is, I wouldn't recommend, you know? I mean, you're talking, dude, so if you survive that, then you got to navigate the Middle East. So you got to make your way through Turkey. You got to go north of Iran, avoiding that pack of crazies. And then you've got all of Russia to kind of go through. And so now you're dealing with bears. So this guy, his name, yeah, Lorenzo Baron. He's a trip, man. As soon as he became 18, he like took off on his bike. He's like that kid in Breaking Away, that movie Breaking Away, classic movie, about all those kids that lived in a quarry town and had really nothing going for them. They're all just kind of blue collar kids, but the one kid thought he was Italian, and just spoke Italian, and was he wanted to, you know, be a professional cyclist. And then in the end, they did I believe it was like a relay bike race around a track, And I think it was Dennis Quaid's first movie, actually. Great movie, though. But I mean, this is back in the 70s, so Breaking Away. But the kid was just, it was all about biking and being Italian. But he wasn't Italian. But this guy's Italian. And so when he was 18, he just, he had ridden, he didn't want to join the real world. He just wanted to get on his bike and just take off and go. So we took off for some town like, he's from, I believe he's from Turin in Italy. And he would ride to like neighbor towns and just became infatuated, just became obsessed with it. And decided he was going to ride. Last year, he rode to Yakutia, which is the coldest. Well, I believe the city is holds the record for being the lowest temperature ever recorded on Earth, at like minus 70. And then the road, it dead ends. This is the northernmost paved road in the world. And then it dead ends kind of virtually in the same, in this district, in this county. And so he rode that. And, so it was the remote village of Yuryongkaya on the northernmost road. So it goes on to say he pushed the boundaries of the possible by crossing Siberia in the middle of winter, no less, on his bicycle. Such was the extreme challenge chosen by Italian Lorenzo Barone. 23 years old. Now he's, okay, at this point he's 23. Who cycled for more than 2,000 kilometers on the coldest road in the world, where temperatures dropped to under minus 58 degrees. That's Fahrenheit. He left Magadan, 10,200 kilometers to the east of Moscow, in mid-January. Like, mid-January is not fun like here in Sacramento. You know, it gets a little nippy. Now, when you go to the Arctic, when you go to, like, Siberia, time's up by a trillion. So he, so in mid-January on his bike, he, arriving in Yakutsk, which is 8,400 kilometers from Moscow, after 52 days of travel in total solitude, okay, like on snow, on a road, on a paved road, on snow, traversing one of the coldest places on Earth. This town, Oymyakon, okay. A tent, camp stove, a mattress, and a sleeping bag. This is the equipment that Lorenzo loaded on a steel bike. And that allows him to face long nights in the open air, surrounded by snow and a vast emptiness. Also, he made a note, mentioned that he had read kind of a homespun remedy or what do you call that when you have kind of a cool little insider info, like on doing something? Well, this particular thing was, of course, he was avoiding wolves, because there are wolves. So to do that, it was a... he strung red flags around his campsite. Supposedly there's something maybe to the effect of the red in the flags, and kind of signals to the wolf, like, this isn't where you want to be, leave me alone. And wolves, they'll fuck you. You know, they travel in packs, and they'll just tear you apart. And but sometimes someone offers me accommodation, he says. But most of the time I sleep in a tent. Like, he's digging out, he's shoveling out the snow, and then he's setting up a tent. And every night, so he rides, and then he had different, because of the coldness, the weather, varying degrees dictated just how far he could go. But at the end of each, the colder it was, the shorter he would go. So at its coldest, at say like minus 50, he would only have himself go 20 kilometers. So that's about 12 and a half miles, right? Which is not, nothing. That's nothing to sniff at. And then you stop in the snow and set up your house, set up your tent, set up your stove. And you're there by yourself in complete isolation in Siberia. And, they interviewed, so I guess he was interviewed. Most of the time I sleep in a tent, said Lorenzo, who was reached on the phone in Pokrovsk, a town near Yakutsk, where the second leg of his long journey began in December 2020, after a break of several months. The goal, to cover another 2,700 kilometers on the way to the village of Yuryonkaya, using the northernmost road in the world. So at this time, the unexpected change of plans he had to deal with was the closure of borders due to the pandemic. And so it made his return to Italy impossible. So this became an adventure within an adventure, complicated by the few hours of sunlight and winter and the almost zero temperature difference between day and night. Fuck, dude. What? You couldn't have gone in summer? So he said, when cycling in such low temperatures, you have to be 100% concentrated. Your attention must remain fixed on the level of respiration, and you must constantly check the sensitivity of your nose, fingers, and toes. So at the beginning of my adventure, I slept 6 to 7 hours, woke up euphoric and excited about the trip, and set off at dawn, around 4 to 5 a.m. In the evening, I tried to camp before it got dark again, but as the weeks went by and my fatigue increased, I started to take it easy. When I wake up in my tent, all my things are covered in frost that forms at night with one's respiration. Just merely breathing, you're creating frost, right? So to cope with such extreme temperatures, Lorenzo wears alpine gear, a pair of special shoes they're supposed to withstand up to minus 73 Celsius, so minus 99 degrees Fahrenheit. My God. And I started to feel cold in my little toe, he laughs. a sweatshirt, a thermal jersey, and a pair of very resistant jackets. The key is to avoid sweating and to keep my clothes dry. The luggage is minimal, and I only have one change of clothes. Okay. On the journey, the solitude is sometimes interrupted by casual encounters with the locals. In Russia, I've always found very kind and hospitable people, from the truck drivers who offer me coffee to the car that pulls over to give me a bag of chocolates or bread, he said. I was hosted by a man who, in the end, did not want me to leave because he thought it was too cold. It was mid-January. The temperature was minus 49. And I told him it was too long waiting till spring to restart my trip. Okay. So this other article I'd read that he went with little to no money. He raised money by juggling bags of rice like a busker. In Italy, like juggling, in the street, like a street performer. That's how he raised money. Like, what? So, but to overcome the language barrier, he used gestures and technology. I downloaded an offline translator application. I write, and it translates. It's not perfect, but it allows me to understand. Like, he just fucking just barrels right in. So this was last year. And he still, to my knowledge, doesn't He doesn't take any money. His gear is all that's sponsored. The bike, the tent, the stove, the clothing. That's all that's basically given to him. To my knowledge, there's no currency exchange. No, I mean, he basically just he lives off the kindness of, you know, people taking him in. If he find he would find an old cabin, an abandoned cabin, like for on fire roads and stuff like that. If he didn't find something like that, he would pitch his tent. I mean, there's nobody out there but wolves. There's wolves out there. The things that people do. And to those who call him an extreme cycle traveler, he replies, "I'm not an extreme traveler. If I want to do something, I just do it. Or at least I try." Fucking brilliant. Fucking brilliant. So, that's what's up. You know? That's what's up. But people like that just fucking, I mean, it gives you the affirmation to literally drop what you're doing and do what you want. If you don't like what you're doing, do what you want to do, right? It's my want theory. You know, like I sprung on you, I illuminated the unwitting public to my want theory. Like, I, you know, if you want to fight, it's because you want to fight. Well, it also extends to just wanting to do something. You know, I want, do you want to do, you know, the want. It's the want that propels you, right? If you want to get better from something, if you want to recover, if you want to drink, if you don't want to, if you want to stop, if you want to work, if you want to be lazy, if you want to change your oil, if you don't want to change your, it's a want. If you want to ride your bike to Siberia, if you want to ride your bike across Africa, if you want, you know, if you don't want to eat a pine cone. I don't want to eat a pine cone. You know? So, okay. That's what it boils down to. It's just it's a want. It's a wanting. You know? Any situation you get yourself into that you don't want to be in, it's because you wanted to be in it. And to get out of it, it's a matter of wanting to get out of it, right? So if you don't get out of it, it's because you don't want to get out of it, okay? And so I want to beat the transatlantic record. I mean the Trans Catalina thru-hike record of 6 hours 14 minutes. Matter of fact, I was doing the math on that. 38 and a half miles is only, well, for in 6 hours and 14 minutes, which is the record, that's about 10 minutes per mile, because that would be 6 miles per hour, right? At 38, 6 miles, almost about 6.5 miles per hour. Okay, for 38 and a half miles, so 6 miles per hour in 6 hours is 36 hours, so 6.5 hours would be 30, you would cover 39 miles, right? So every hour you're covering 6 miles, so after 6 hours, you're at 36 miles, you only got 2.5 left. And in 14 minutes, that's 7 minutes per mile. So There you go. It's 10-minute miles. It's 10. So you can walk. If you can walk 10-minute miles, and you can, you can. That goal is within reach. I think what I'm going to do, so Saturday, I'm going to go out and I'm going to do a time trial. I'm going to do a flat time trial. So that's what it's shaping up to be. So Saturday, when I'm going to go out to the high school, and I'm going to get on the track, and I'm going to see what I've actually been doing time-wise. I don't know. I can't, the step conversion to mileage isn't reliable. So I'm going to get on a quarter mile track and I'm going to see, what am I really doing? Am I going each lap? Am I going 2 minutes and 30 seconds? Because that would be a 5 minute half mile, hence a 10 minute mile. If that's what I'm doing, if that's what I feel like I'm doing, that record's going down, biatch. That record's going down. Then, so after I do the time trial, then I lock it in. Then I lock that shit in, right? So I go, so July 1st, then I do my big push. So I go up to elevation. I expand my lungs, you know? I do a little, I give my lungs a little myocarditis, you know, an expanded lung situation, and I so that when I come back down to sea level, and I literally go out to sea, I will level that record. Yeah, you heard me. It can be done, and I'm just the guy to do it. You know what I'm saying? But fascinating stuff. Fascinating stuff. I'm pumped. I'm super pumped. I'm more pumped than a bottle of Jergens in a teenager's bedroom. I'm so pumped. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make. Anyway, I'm tired. I'm tired, folks. This training's doing me, and I'm an old man. But like I say, to illuminate this want theory, you know, we need stuff. We need oxygen, we need rest, we need food, we need water, and that's it. Those are the needs. But the wants, at some point, it's want, like I say, that keeps you in a situation, right? But it's the want that'll bring you back out too. That if it's a digressive situation, if it's a party that you're going to. I want to go to a party. I want to leave. Okay, right? You don't need to go to the party. You don't need to leave. Yeah, I mean, you may want to. I mean, just for your own best interest, but. But what I'll ultimately do is I want to test myself, and I want to go up to Tahoe, and I want to go up there, and I want to scout the route. I'm going to drive around the route again, and I'm going to look at vulnerabilities. I'm going to look at points where I can kind of shave a little off at the edges, you know, just like Frank Shorter did in the 72 Olympic marathon when he won in Munich, where instead of an S-shaped curve of street corners, he just made a beeline between all the curves and straightened that shit out. Instead of running the curve, he ran. It probably saved him a couple of minutes of time overall. That's brilliant. But I want to do this. I want to scout the route. I don't need to scout the rut. I want to scout the rut, because when I want to give up on the second day and I want to call it a day and I want to just sit down and not move anymore, well, I've got to fight that want, right? So, I guess that's it. I don't know. FKTs and pine cones and all kinds of good stuff. That's about all I got for you this week. That's about all I got for you today, boys and girls, moms and dads. So, hope you enjoyed it. And I'll talk at you later. Arrivederci, babies.